So far, so good. We're looking in Galatians chapter 5, going to 16 all the way to 26. This is the New Living Translation. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, and you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Those two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another.
Thanks, Ed, for that. All right, let's jump in. We're to the last of the inner character qualities. It's the one that we try to avoid the most, I think. Being self-controlled. If we want to be successful in life, then it is paramount that we have victory over ourselves. We need to have victory over ourselves because, well, that's the part of our inner character that is holding us back, holding us down, and moving forward in life and faith. As you come this morning, may I ask you, where is it in your soul that you feel that you're being defeated? Where is the challenge in living out the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life? And I know this about human beings. I know this about myself. One of these is profoundly important, if not two or three. And as we've been making our way, I know the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you as he has spoken to me. He has brought out, so to speak, a light that has illumined where we need transformation, where we need to focus our efforts. Which inner characteristic is hurting us and hurting those around us? And that's a hard question to ask, especially at the beginning of a message. Where is it in your soul that you feel a little defeated today? The truth is, well, not all of our desires are good and holy, are they? The truth is what moves us forward in a sense of better self-control is to look at the cost of our bad behavior, of our destructive desires within us. Proverbs 25:28. A person without self-control is defenseless, like a city with broken down walls. When it comes to our inner character, where is your inner wall broken down? Where are you missing a few stones? Where are there cracks and gaps? Sometimes it's anger. Notice all wisdom from Proverbs. Sometimes it's spending, you know, a little retail therapy. Maybe that will let me ignore where I really need to change, where I'm hurting today, broken today, lacking today. Lust is one of those desires, right, guys? Then there's being an alcoholic or being addicted to drugs. And if I haven't gotten you in the circle yet, I'll get you in the circle now because you're all very educated and very successful people. How about your selfish ambition? See, those all cost. They cost us, they cost those that would want to lovingly be in relationship with us. Yeah, self-control. Self-control is something we all need. In fact, I think self-control is really a key foundation in our ability to move forward. In fact, to release many of the other inner characteristics of the Holy Spirit. And what it takes to be a more self-disciplined, self-controlled person, ultimately it's about taking responsibility. Have you noticed in those areas where you're broken and weak, you have a tendency to always have an excuse, always have a reason? We have to own up. We have to take responsibility in that area. And that's being honest and clear with ourselves about, first of all, who we are. Who we are. What the gospel says so clearly and is so true is that we all have our own brokenness. We all have some missing pieces. Some of us don't make it all the way to adulthood with, well, everything we need, all that we need, perfectly. And so we have to be responsible about who we are. God has brought us so far. Others have added into us what's the final product. Can we be honest with ourselves about that? It is about what we do and taking responsibility both for all that we're able to build and all the good that we're able to do, but also responsibility for our own sinfulness, our own lacking, our own inability. It's also about what we've received. Now, I don't know your life specifically, but God has very much added into my life, blessed me in many ways, and other people have blessed me in wonderful ways. And when we take responsibility for the gift that God has given us and other people have given us, we do honor to God and we do honor to those other people. Because without them, we would not be where we are. Without God's blessing, we wouldn't be where we are. He is the giver of every good thing we have. And isn't it great that others have handed good to you, encouragement to you? They've added in. What have we done? What have we been doing with how God has blessed us and how other people have blessed us? It's also about accountability. holding ourselves accountable, but also realizing that God is going to hold us accountable. Romans 14, 12. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. Ooh, really? Yeah, we're going to have to stand before God, and we'll get to the parable of the talents in a minute. And I can tell you the simple question you're going to be asked is, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what others gave you? Have you squandered that? Have you trivialized that? Have you put that on the back burner of your life? Or have you tried to make the most of it? Have you tried to move forward? Have an influence on others? Yeah, we need to be accountable to ourselves, but we should always remember that we'll be accountable to God as well. Now, how do we become a more self-disciplined, self-controlled person? Three simple things, but they're not simplistic. Number one, you got to start with yourself. Yeah, you got to stop blaming everybody else. You got to stop making excuses. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Here's the truth. Before you can confess it to somebody else, you have to admit it to yourself. Honest with yourself. And I know how that works. We begin to be dishonest with ourselves. And in places and circumstances where we falter and fail, we're too easy on ourselves. And no, you'll never heal yourself. You can only humanly find some of the missing parts to what it means to be a human being. The major missing pieces is really a single piece, and that's the God-shaped vacuum within all of us. And we try to put a lot of things in that vacuum. Being smart, being talented, moving ahead. Bigger and better vacations. Things. And God wants to make us whole, and for Him to make us whole, we have to confess our sin to Him. We have to bring who we really are and set that before God. And to do that, it begins with us. So start with yourself. Don't worry about everybody else. Number two, it's a simple, single step that we need to make, one right after the other. Now, here's the parable of the talents. I know you know this. I want to point out just a couple of things. Notice that the servant that received five bags of silver invests the money. He puts the money to work. The one who received two bags also went to work to earn two more. Now, the person that is worried and digs a hole and throws their money in the pit, well, what does it say? But the servant who received the one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and he hid it. Which one are you? Are you digging a hole and trying to put your brokenness and your shortcomings there, and let's just cover it over. Don't put a marker on it, and maybe it'll go away. No, the call is to be like the servant with five bags or two bags. Maybe you're a five-bag person. Maybe you're a two-bag person. Okay, maybe you're a bag and a half. The key is that there is eternal work to do, and that begins with you. And we simply have to begin with ourselves and be honest with ourselves. You know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you allow the Holy Spirit to transform you on the inside? One step at a time. And here, do not compare yourself to other people. The Holy Spirit wants to do a work, a very personal work in you, in me. Remember the first question I raised as we gathered is, where do you feel defeated in your soul? Which of these inner character qualities of the fruit of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit been pointing out to you? Don't be discouraged in that. In fact, don't feel like you should remain defeated there. It starts with you and your yielding and your submission to God. And then it's not about being discouraged by the end result. Just look right in front of you. You know, when you're on a hike and it's starting to get strong, my Boy Scout leader would say, don't look up ahead, just look at the backpack of the guy in front of you. And your intention is to get one foot in front of the other, and don't worry, you'll make it. You will make it. You can eat this elephant that's in the room. And to do so, we have to remind ourselves it's one step at a time. It's one bite at a time. The third thing we need to do is we need to start today. I love this verse from Judges. The Danites are going to go try to find the priest and bring him home. And they need counsel about what they're going to get themselves into. And so they go and get some counsel. Here's the counsel. Don't hesitate to go there and take it over. I love that. Don't be afraid to take it over. In fact, don't be afraid to let the Holy Spirit take you over. And as the Holy Spirit takes us over, we've got to take things on. We got to start today. You know, procrastination is an absolute change killer. Oh, well, I'll get to that. Oh, well, I'll put that. Well, that's not a high enough. No, you start today. You decide today to yield to the Holy Spirit, to focus on that inner character quality or two or three. The Holy Spirit with guys, he'll only give you two at a time because we don't know how to. Women, they get a little bit more than that, but us, you know, I can deal with two things at a time. So Holy Spirit, line them up and make clear to me what are the one or two things that I need to focus on. And guess what? It starts with me. It's about taking simple steps, one right after the other. And third, it is about starting today, allowing the Holy Spirit to transform you from the inside out. How do I know that the Holy Spirit is alive and well? Galatians 5:22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And if Paul says the Holy Spirit is active and changing our lives, then he's active and he's out to change our lives. And what I love about Jesus is he is the perfect example. The perfect example of the Holy Spirit working in him and through him. And yes, he was perfect. He didn't need to work too much at the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but you can find that Jesus demonstrated each fruit of the Holy Spirit as you read the narratives in the Bible. And for Jesus, it's not a question. It's his lifestyle. And when we look at our lifestyle, we know that it's a choice we have to make. We know when we make that choice that God is so good at doing what we can't do for ourselves all along.